Stay true, stay real, stay righteous.
So, I don't know if you have the same experience, but my girlfriend really enjoys watching reality TV shows.
Oh, yeah.
Like a lot of them.
Trash talk.
That's anything from kind of the real world stuff to more the competitive game show type things. Mm-hmm. But just to give you an example, the other day she was showing me clips from a show called 1,000 Pound Sisters or something like that, along that line. It was like 2,000 or 1,000 Pound Sisters. And I was like, what?
I may know that one.
Like,
yeah.
She was just explaining it to me, and I said, this sounds horrific. So apparently the show is about
they're extremely obese.
They're morbidly obese.
Morbidly obese.
With a lot of health problems, but it shows the lives of these two sisters.
Yeah.
And I guess they at some point kind of make some attempts to lose some weight or whatever.
Yeah,
it just
I
shows
think one of them does.
It just
kind of
shows their lives, but I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, this is terrible.
That's
people like
That's
this.
It's a real thing.
And so
I have to use wheelchairs to get around.
Yeah.
They're too big to walk. Oh man, it's crazy.
You know, I started thinking about a lot of reality TV shows.
My bones hurt. Oh, I just
terrible.
I just want to go home, Daddy. I just want to go home.
And you know what? And people love it. People get high off of it.
Yeah, I watch it with my girlfriend.
And
I watch stuff like that with my girlfriend.
And I'm, you know,
it's
I'm
like social experiments. It's like a social experiment within one. I'm like that person is watching.
Oh my gosh.
Like there was one of the episodes.
Why do we enjoy watching people fall from grace?
Well, there was like one. There was one of the episodes that like nothing happened in it. There was just like a family argument. That's all it was.
It's just their lives. It was just the inside look at these.
A day in the life of this family. And it was just an argument that had nothing to do with anyone losing weight, nothing to do with the theme of the show, nothing to do with anything about what the show's supposed to be about. It was just like a common household argument, something dumb, you know, and
so,
watched every bit of it.
So you've had the same experience then, so you understand where I'm coming from.
It's like a human zoo.
So here's
like
my take
zoo.
On it. And I'm not going to act like there hasn't been times when I've watched some of these reality shows and not actually found some sense of enjoyment. I don't know why. It's some sick enjoyment.
Oh, yeah.
But like even for example, so another show she loves is Hell's Kitchen with Gordon Ramsay. Have you ever seen that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Gordon Ramsay's kind of known for his, you know, boisterous personality and cursing of people in most of his shows, but
he's hardcore.
You know, this is a more of a competitive show. So
mm-hmm.
these people come in, you know, these professional chefs or so-called professional chefs come in to compete to essentially, assume a role.
It's like his
over
restaurant.
Like a, yeah, some new grand restaurant's opening up. But some of the most entertaining episodes are the ones where people have the worst experiences. So, for example, we love, our favorite is when we're into a new season, and it's like the very first competition they have, or the very first challenge they have going on the show, is they have to present Gordon Ramsay their best personalized dish.
Yeah,
they
like
get
their signature
dish.
Signature
dish. I think it's even what it's called. And of course, I mean, it's probably out of the show. Like he rips apart some people. I mean, it's horrendous.
It's terrible.
But we love it. That's like our favorite part of the show. We want to watch these people get annihilated, verbally, mentally
abused.
And I'm like, what is wrong with us? What is this sick obsession with wanting to watch people?
Oh, because all
in horrendous situations. I think, man, this is entertaining, and I want to see more. I don't know. I'm horrified. But I want to see more. I can't stop.
Well, that's the weird thing about people. We're inherently sadist. Think about
I
it.
Guess so.
Think
yes.
about it. When you're a kid, like I see my daughter, she does it every once in a while. There'll be, you know, just one of the dogs, she just walks and pops the dog in the head. Hey buddy, pop, runs away. Like kids do that. Kids do things like that all the time. But the point of it is you have to correct that behavior.
Yeah.
You always have to tell them, "Hey, don't hit the animal for no reason." But why do we do that? Why do we feel the need to do that?
I don't know.
Why does she feel the need? Why people want to abuse cute things?
Like, why do we like seeing suffering?
I don't know. We've done it since forever. We've done it forever.
Strange.
We used to put people in fighting pits and make them bloody You know, we
shall
like,
we kill him?
We love competition.
Hey, everybody showed up. You know, everybody used to show up on Sunday afternoon to watch the good old hanging down in, you know, on the street or whatever.
Right.
I mean, people have always loved
a good old
seeing justice or something be done or somebody else have misfortune.
That's right.
It's weird. I don't know. It freaks me out.
But it is kind of weird that execution was a form of entertainment at one point.
I mean, people got dressed up. I mean, you know, hey, you're going down to the, you know, you're going to see the beheading this.
Hey, I wonder if you can
bring
just,
the kids.
Hey, I wonder if you can just like attend an execution. Does that make sense? Like, I wonder if there's rules or stipulations on, do you have to somehow be connected?
I don't know that anybody can just show up to it.
No, I'm just curious. Yeah, isn't that weird?
You have to look it up. There might have to be, like, so many witnesses there, but I don't know if they have to be directly involved or if it could just be random people.
No, I just wonder if somebody's just like, hey, this guy's getting executed. I want to go sit and, you know, spectate.
Can I walk? Can I see a, can I study? Wow, that's kind of crazy.
Ooh,
you
want to
go do
that?
I don't know if I want to do that.
No, I mean, I wouldn't want to do that. I'm just saying I wonder if that's even possible because it also leads me to wonder, I wonder if people do that, if there's people who...
You know, we're saying
go
that
to
we
court to get to well, some psychopaths get off watching people get executed.
So we were talking about how addicting it is to see. Well, in some cases, how we get addicted
abuse.
To seeing abuse, I guess, or suffering. But no, well, what would happen if you went there? We're saying, oh, I wouldn't want to see that. What if you went there and saw it, and then you became like addicted to? Oh, I got to see more. I got to go sign up for more executions.
Yeah, man.
It's disturbing, like man. It freaks
like
me out.
Whole, yeah, I mean, it's like the whole paradox of things, it, like with violence. It's the whole paradox of sin, right?
Right.
Think about it. Like violence.
What is that dark side in you, right? What is that?
Well, it all leads to nothing, right?
Yeah.
That's the paradox of sin. It feels good.
Mm.
That's the problem with sin is the fact that it feels good. But what happens at the end of it all? So you commit so much violence, you get addicted to it. Then what happens in the end? Well, you're nothing. You're desensitized to it. You're fucked up. You're you know, something's, you just, you're not like, You lose humanity. I think it's like the same funnel as porn. What happens? you start out with a magazine, then you go online, then it gets deep, and by the end of it, people are watching, you know, midgets and you know, and
you got to start finding the weird stuff
because
you're not
midgets and furries and stuff. Yeah,
because normal sex doesn't matter anymore.
Right? It's like it's this weird insatiable appetite. You know, it's the appetite.
Hey, you turn into Uncle Rico or whatever, you know, from Hellraiser. Wasn't that his whole thing? He kept trying to find pleasure.
Oh,
and he couldn't.
What was that guy named? Uncle Frank.
Frank, yeah, Frank.
Frank.
But remember, that was his whole thing. Was that he was just like, nothing's
here,
ever
baby.
Enough anymore. So he was seeking this ultimate pleasure, and he found it through, like, pleasure through pain or whatever. Your suffering will be legendary.
No! Christie. Uncle Frank. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. It's but that's the problem with sin. It feels good. Money. What is money? You're addicted to gluttony. Hey, you can have everything. You can have the world. You can have the biggest house. You can have everything. But at the end of it all, does it usually account for much of anything? Like, at the end of it all, what are the things that most people say they value? It was
experiences. You know what starts to happen?
It wasn't the materials, it was the experiences that most people tend to value later in life.
So you know what tends to happen when people reach that point? Wealthy people, they start building rocket ships and just say, hey, I'm done here on Earth. It's time to move on somewhere else.
I'm the rocket man. So, it's kind of a weird thing to think about. It always leads there. I mean, it doesn't even matter how much money you have. I mean, you get bored of it after a while. Think about it. People who have too much money don't, like, you lose touch. You kind of lose touch of reality. When you, again, when you die, what do you take with you? It's usually the experiences. Nobody's sitting there thinking about, God damn, I loved my Ferrari my whole life, you know, before they let go. Ugh. No, I mean, it's somebody saying, you know, I'm lucky to be surrounded by my family or some people. Through whatever avenue they committed it, you know, drugs, same way. You want more of everything.
Yeah.
That's the problem with it. That's how you know it's bad. Like, think about things that are good for you.
Exercise.
What makes you want more? What makes you want more of it?
That's good for you?
Yeah. It's kind of a weird thing, but like service to other people.
Mm.
You get an intrinsically good feeling through it, and it makes you continue to want to do more of it. But it's always something that you have to kind of work. You have to do. You know what I'm saying? You have to put effort into. It's not as easy as doing the rushes, the vices of the materialism, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a way to look at it. There's always some type of thought and push that has to happen in order for thing, you know, just to, you know, for acts of kindness. And I mean, sometimes, a lot of times it's uncomfortable to do things like that, mm-hmm. you know? And I just think that's interesting how, and the other, you know, that's why people talk about, you know, the world being full of Satan or the devil. And I'm like, more people succumb to unvirtuous acts than virtuous ones. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can say that for sure. Hell, even us right now. Give me some poison, you know.
Sucking on that bottle.
Let me drink that juice. But yeah, I mean, it's a weird way to look at it.
We're weird, man. We've said it before.
Or if you take a non-dualistic standpoint, you would say that there is no good or evil, only extremities of one or the other.
Mm.
You would say there really is no two. There is no soul, immaterial, good, evil, sinful, prosperous, sinful, righteous. There's, you know, it's not mixed like that. It's not so black and white.
Mm.
That's the I'm trying to think. I think that's what it's called. The non-dualistic, non-dualism. I think is what it's called. Which is where you believe it's all kind of one. There is no middle. There is only extremities of, mm-hmm. of each other. But the reason that you would think about it in that way would be due to the fact that you would take into account kind of like the paradox of the thief who stole the bread is going to get his hands cut off, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he stole it to feed his family.
Right.
That's kind of how like the non-dualistic standpoint would be. It was like it was a necessary evil, you know, for whatever reason, or maybe it wasn't, but maybe it was a necessary evil. He had to commit that to return to the light, to the light element. He had to venture into the dark to go into the light, you know, and vice versa. So it's kind of a weird approach to it, but that's the way I see it at least. I don't know.
So I guess circling back around to it, so maybe when we're, well, this kind of makes it even worse now. Now I'm not going to be able to enjoy any reality TV because
maybe we're
getting a glimpse into our darker side, you know, sort of
the reptile brain, Chris.
Ooh, the reptile brain. We learned about that the other night.
We did.
For anybody who doesn't know, the reptile brain is actually an actual part of the human brain.
Yeah, I'd never heard this. I wasn't familiar with this.
And I'm, from my recollection, it's called the reptile brain because it's kind of the most primitive part of our brain.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's kind of interesting. Maybe lizard people did exist at one time.
Ooh. The lizards.
The draconians. You know, wasn't there a study that actually looked into if dinosaurs had not been, you know, eradicated, what would have evolved for, you know, kind of like a study into,
well, it was, I felt like it was
how they would evolve further.
Yeah. I felt like it was like something back from the 70s or the 80s, but it was, I felt like it was like in that time frame for some reason. I don't know why I feel like it was kind of a while back, but it was a study of a certain type of dinosaur that, to my recollection, based on its cranial form, the anthropologist deduced that this dinosaur could have technically, had it continued to live on, could have technically became a bipedal species. And what they ended up doing was taking certain measurements and applying them, you know, kind of like quantitative research, right? I mean, they kind of got deep with it. They applied these different ideas and methods, and I'm sure they used computers. And they were able to replicate a model of it. And you can like look it up, and it's kind of spooky looking. But it literally looks like the predicted outcome of what this dinosaur would have potentially been millions of years, maybe, you know, thousands to millions of years later, you know, was very human-like.
Did they speculate that it would have developed an intelligence like humans did, or would it looked more?
I don't know because, I mean, if you can measure they could have maybe seen how big the brain was, but to what capacity, if it would have developed frontal lobes or not. I don't know if any of that would have made any, because that's the only thing that makes us aware, you know, is our frontal lobes.
Hey, you know, there's a conspiracy theory very similar to that, though, that there was a more intelligent humanoid that did evolve during the dinosaur time, and that they went underground during the Great Extinction. And that's where the whole lizard people underground society comes from, is that they were the earliest form of like intelligent evolved species.
No kidding.
That survived underground, and during the time they were under there, other species start to develop back on the Earth's surface, and by the time they kind of came back up, humans had already evolved and started civilizations and things.
Interesting.
It's, you know, it's one of those, like I said, it's a conspiracy theory. I don't know if that's real or not, but it's
well, because
kind of an interesting thought just hearing that study, though, and saying that, hey, they did say that there would have been something very human-like that could have evolved from the dinosaur species.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe it did.
You know, there's a lot of weird stuff that, that
President Biden's a lizard man. I don't got the...
He was lobotomized. He was a lizard man that got lobotomized. No, there's some weird stuff that, that kind of comes out of a lot of weird historical... like for, so, for example, there's always this constant argument about how old is human civilization itself, right?
Mm.
Which is estimated as usually like 5,000 to 6,000 years of modern, like modern human, starting with the Sumerians. I think I'm pretty sure it's the Sumerians that start that it starts with. But what's interesting is, even when you go back in history, you'll consistently find references to people of note. Like, we talked about it one time, the Greek philosopher Herodotus,
mm-hmm.
he noted and made an estimation that the human species was really more like 13,000 years old.
Mm.
Which, if you, you have a hard time measuring that in time span, just take the idea of what we've achieved in 5,000 years... based on what we currently know, right,
mm-hmm.
what we believe to be modern civilization, and double the advancement, times that by two, to give you an idea. I mean, we'd be, you know, I mean, we would be floating around on rockets and stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we'd be on planets. I mean, literally, I don't even know if we would look the same by now. You know, I mean, it would be a completely different outlook. Anyways, the point is, there is a consistent story that follows all text, all of the earliest texts, no, even the earliest ones known to man, and they all talk about a great deluge, a great flood. All, every single one of them, they all mention some great flood. And I remember watching a guy, and I can't remember his name, but he was a guy who was kind of contesting the idea that, you know what, maybe we are older than what scientists believe we are. And he was studying all these, you know how it is. You watch those shows on like Discovery or whatever, he's like studying all the bizarre sites and stuff.
Yeah, but kind of like Ancient Aliens or whatever.
Similar to it, but he was a little bit more grounded. He wasn't necessarily looking for supernatural. Well, I can't even say aliens are supernatural, but you know, he wasn't looking for extraordinary elements. He was just trying to study certain elements.
Mm-hmm.
And what was interesting was some of the carbon dating and the structures would come back to like 20,000 years, even longer than what even some of the oldest historians predicted.
Right.
And a lot of people would say, well, That's absolutely nuts. But the reason I brought up the flood was because there's a theory that we were a species that was probably, we could have potentially been primitive in nature, but maybe had developed technologies in other ways. Because one of the things that we always come back to whenever we look at structures, historical structures that for some reason still stand to this day, right? I mean, you go up to Detroit, and you can see what happens, you know, in 50 years, right?
Yeah.
You know, when an economy crashes. But, like, these structures, you know, even when they're weathered away by the weather, you know, I mean, thousands of years they last. So, the point I'm making is, who knows if they were building in completely different ways? Who knows if we used to be a species that was completely...
we were advanced in a different type of way.
Function in a completely different way. Because one of the things you can always come back to is advanced technologies, but we don't ever see anything that looks like what we would consider advanced technology.
Mm, right.
We don't have wires and information. Like, think about the weird stuff they always find. What is it? We don't know what these cogs were for. And it's like four cogs put inside of a wheel with three marbles around it. And you're like, what the fuck is that? And the whole point of it is, maybe it did something.
Right.
Maybe there was a way you activated
maybe
it.
Maybe their engineering was something different than what we consider engineering.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's some Black Panther stuff. You know, they like walk into the lab and they touch goo buttons and, you know, all the screens pop up, whatever. You know, we don't know. And the whole point is, one of the theories this guy was trying to lay out was the fact that, okay, so maybe there was, maybe the Atlantis was real. Maybe we were a very advanced species in potentially even in a different way. I mean, things that are referenced like vibrational techniques used to move giant rocks. Yeah. You heard that one? That we somehow, that there's a theory, and there's a lot of evidence that kind of backs it, that we as humans at some point had access to either a device or the capabilities to use vibrations to move heavy objects. That's how stone and stuff was transported. You ever heard of that before?
Mm-hmm. I've heard some of those theories, stone was transported. Yeah.
And there's a lot of weird stuff that kind of backs it up. But anyways, the point is, who's to say that technologies and people like that existed and they worshipped in different ways? And maybe the pyramids were some kind of weird, you know, earth batteries that they built. But it gave off a different force. Instead of electrical energy, maybe it gave off something completely different, a form of magnetism that gave us enhanced abilities even. You know what I mean? It's just, you know how it works. You know how the tides affect people's minds.
And if you think about
the moons, you know how the full moon affects people. It's kind of one of those
things. That's why they call them lunatics. Lunar.
Right, think about it. What's so interesting about us as a species is the fact that we've created and invented so much, and we're so creative. Yet the one thing that we never try to tap into outside of draining it of its resources is our own planet. Like we never try to harness it in different ways. You know, does that make sense? We never try to experiment.
Because it's not profitable.
Right. No, exactly. Right. You know, but it's just one of those things when you think about it, it's interesting. But the theory would just state that there was this massive flood that eradicated a majority of the population. And the survivors were the ones who would eventually trickle in back into society. They would find these maybe tribes that had survived or these people, and they taught them things and they showed them how to rebuild and how to add on. And hey, I know this place. There was one that they were studying. It was this temple that had like four layers built on top of it. Basically, they were doing the carbon dating, and they were like all measured like thousands of years in between each other. So they had built a structure. They decided to make it bigger. More generations later, they made it even bigger. 100 generations later, they made it even bigger. So it just doesn't make any, you know, it's just these weird, bizarre things that we used to do as a people. But maybe there was something to it. Maybe we were far beyond what we give ourselves credit for.
No, I mean, I agree, man. It's kind of weird.